Machine, starring John Davidson, will not be heard this time. Because it didn't work in 1985, why do you think it will work now?
But we plan to be here for a very long time.
In its place, we present this look back.
This is Gordon Pepper, and unlike Time Machine and John Davidson saying that they're going to be here for a very long time, 2024 is not going to be here for a very long time. But we have memories, which we will not forget, for better or for worse. I see a Jason Block, and I see, before I turn this over to Jason, I see someone who may be part of the best top 10 best things in 2024, the top stories. Isn't that right, Chico?
I see my brother from just over the county line, but we will introduce him later. But, we've got the 10 biggest stories. These are the stories that transcend our genre, that made its way to the public consciousness. And I have a podcast first here, gentlemen. There's a twist in this story.
Okay.
We will talk about the twist right after I say, from somewhere in America, WLTI, the World Strongest Game Show podcast, the 10 biggest stories of 2024, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to the recap of the 10 biggest stories of 2024 on episode 472 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. This is episode 472. My name is Jason Corp, Block and strength and conditioning coach and all-around good guy with Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper and special guest, the person who has spent some of his Tournament of Champions money feeding jukeboxes in Ohio to play Rocky Top, Tennessee, Mr. Brian Henniger. How are you, sir?
Jason, who told? Hi, everybody. It's good to be back.
Yes, and by the way, you heard that story. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but I've heard that basically it's Waffle Houses all over Columbus, Ohio. People are paying to play Rocky Top on distant, which, you know what? Ohio State, this is the SEC, baby. Learn to love it.
That is trolling on an epic level, but we have 10 major stories to go to. Chico, hit the bell with story.
Right, before we begin, you know how we do it. A panel submits their lists. I adjudicate them and bracketize them for accuracy. But this year, there is a twist. Because of the way that the numeration figured itself out, we do not have a top 10 stories this year.
What?
We have a top 11 stories this year.
Ooh! So, let us go with story number 11, then.
Story number 11. Drag Race rebounds after All-Stars 8.
Okay. So, what do we have here?
So, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 8 was a really good, really different season. But then we had Global All-Stars, and all of a sudden, the wheels fell off the truck.
The Global All-Stars was, and I will say this, a racist, Eurocentric disaster. Okay? Gordon was absolutely right about this. You were calling this all year, all season of that they were too English-speaking and they needed to be truly global, and they were not.
Yeah, and I don't think you have it correct. I don't think it's Euro as much as it's Anglo.
Yeah, Anglo. That is correct. Anglo. Right. Anglo.
Because Italy and Spain are part of Europe, and that would be the group that I felt that was a definite disadvantage in this. I mean, you sort of had the token country that came in, but you had a lot of Anglo. You had Anglo lip syncs. You had one which was great, which was Menomina. And like, where's the Spanish? Where's the Italian? And before you say, well, they don't do it, Mupu. They did Tony Basil's Mickey in Spanish in season 3. In the American version.
Yeah.
So, great concept, great idea, terrible execution.
Perfect. Yeah, very good. And also, I mean, they did rebound with All-Stars 9, which went back to the All-Stars 7 format and added a charitable element to it, which made it a lot better.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I think we liked it a lot better. We liked it a lot better than the public, but it was still much better than All-Stars 8.
Yeah.
Right. Well, do we also want to include Nymphia Wind in this as well?
Yes, we did, because that's where, like I said, this whole year of Drag Race has been one gigantic roller coaster. We had the historic win of Nymphia Wind being the first East Asian winner of Drag Race in early year. Then we had the top of All-Star Season 9. Then all of a sudden, we had that uncanny valley of global All-Stars, which was just a Eurocentric, Anglo-centric
cluster.
And it played to all the stereotypes that ugly Americans have about foreigners. So,
right. Well, hopefully, we just got the cast of RuPaul's Drag Race 17, which will debut early next month. So we'll see where the year holds for them. What's story number 10?
Story number 10. Best Survivor ever? Okay, Chi, you're going to have to explain this one, because this was actually one of the things that was on your list and your list alone.
I thought this year, Survivor, this whole entire year, you had some classic great seasons of Survivor. You definitely have last season, which was great, which had all sorts of surprises, finally a correct shot in the dark. You had a lot of people leaving with idols in their pockets.
Right, yes.
So that was fun. And this year, more of the same twists and turns. And Survivor this year has been anything but boring. You had some great play. You had someone that used their immunity idol at the right time, sneaking with everybody. And I thought, and I know we're going to talk about this later, you had a classic finish.
It did have a classic finish, and boy, did it ever. But we are also leading up to next year and Survivor 50. And Survivor 50 in early 2026 looks to be something epic. Who are they going to invite? Who are they not going to invite? You only got 18 spots and hundreds of players. Who do you put in there?
Yeah, it's one of those things where literally anything can happen. And next year, 2025, we're going to get Survivor 48, Survivor 49. Survivor 50 won't come until 2026, I don't think. But a whole bank of great play, and we're going to go over the finale later on in the show. But right now, back to the countdown. Number 9, Millionaire's 25th Anniversary.
Oh, Brian, you could definitely speak on this one.
it put some money in my pocket a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we'll get there.
Put some money in my pocket, too, or at least it did, courtesy of Kay Adams and my cell phone.
Right. It put money in everybody's pocket that we're talking about here.
Yes, but
all of us have won money. I'm a millionaire.
Yes, but go on, because I have thoughts, and I've had thoughts, and I'm going to continue to have thoughts.
Well, the good news is, okay, let's start with the good. In the 25th anniversary season of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the audience is back!
Woo!
And Jimmy Kimmel is back! And so are the celebrities.
Boo! Boo! Bull Horns! And they still suck. I mean, seriously. Okay, this is how ABC just basically burned off. They could have had a huge 25th anniversary celebration with real life contestants doing real life things, but no, you have to have celebrities doing charity moo poo. I'm sorry, Brian. You agree with me, don't you?
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, Millionaire is at its best when it's real people playing for life-changing sums of money, not celebrities who are already millionaires trying to win money. I mean, look, it's for good causes, but at least have them get, like, a contestant from home. I have a home player they could be trying to win money.
Right, and also, Brian, you actually have a connection to something that happened on Millionaire this year.
I see. Because one of the celebrities,
Right. Go ahead.
Because a celebrity, which it's already aired, so I guess I can say it. A celebrity who wound up, I think, becoming the second ever celebrity to win $1 million on U.S. Millionaire. Ike Barinholtz and his dad.
That's right.
Was also a competitor in this year's Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, and like me, is a celebrity, was a semifinalist.
Yes.
For those of you who forget, the question of great importance for Ike Barinholtz was, not including blanks or bonus spaces, the highest valued three-letter Scrabble word is Zax, which is a what? Rare species of African antelope, ceramic container for holy water, letter in the Arabic alphabet, or tool for cutting roofing slates.
E, one of the geeks on Beat the Geeks.
No. Correct. No. It is actually a roofing tile. So he won $1 million this year. He won $2 million for charity over the past 18 months. Not bad, but
if you want to get specific, $2,010,000. He donated his TLC winnings to charity as well.
That's right. That is correct.
Yes. But I will have to say this, though. Millionaire has to get the respect it deserves, and I'm sorry that ABC blew it with this year. They really did. They hugely blew the 25th anniversary celebration.
Well, they're going to have another 5 years to get it right with the 30th anniversary, so...
Let's see.
Moving
to story number eight.
Story number eight. Dancing with the Stars goes for the virality instead of the celebrity.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Okay, now.
Grand closing for Anna Dolly.
Now, Brian, you may remember this. I know you don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but you do remember this story. Anna Sorokin, a.k.a. Anna Delvey, is a legitimate convicted criminal. So much so that she had to get special permission from ICE to participate in this Dancing with the Stars. So she flies out to L.A., and how many weeks does she last on the show? One week.
As was said on the miniseries on Netflix about her life, if I may do the voice.
Yeah.
I do not have time for this. I do not have time for you.
Pretty much. And what was really sad was that when she was asked what she would learn from this, nothing. Okay. Gordon, how bad was this for ABC? This was horrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which was worse here throughout the years in terms of why is this person here? Her, Sean Spicer, or going to another show, Rudy Giuliani as a piece of cake on The Masked Singer?
I actually think this because Rudy Giuliani wasn't convicted at the time. He wasn't on trial at the time.
At the time, he was not. You can also have Ryan Lochte, even though he didn't get knocked out week one.
He just had a really bad dye job. That was his problem.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, do you think ABC is going to learn from this? No.
Absolutely.
I don't
know.
I will say that I did like the fact that they gave a spot to one of my favorite Olympians, Ilona Mark.
Not only did they give her that spot, she came within a stone's throw of winning the whole thing.
And can I just say, and I apologize, this makes me sound like a pig. Got a bit of a crush on her, not going to lie.
Got a bit of a crush. That's fine.
Yes, she's hot. No way. Okay. But you know what?
If you follow her on TikTok, she is just a big goofball, and I love
her. I do follow her on TikTok, and she is a big goofball.
Okay. Story 7, I believe?
Story number 7. Mergers, acquisitions, and spinoffs. More specifically, Paramount, Comcast, and Warner Brothers Discovery.
Well, this is now, Gordon, we've talked about this all year. Streamers have been bleeding billions of dollars. We're talking billions with a B. To the what is it to the point of combined almost $100 billion, something to that effect?
Well,
I remember some Studley Studboy saying around last year at this point that the market is too congested. You have too many streamers trying to split up, and some things are going to have to give.
Yes.
Because you can't do this. And the irony, and there was an article on this last week, the irony is that if you stayed with cable, you are paying less now than if you cut the cord. With all of the streamers going on and making their own play.
What?
Huh?
So why don't you bundle all the streamers and call it StreamVision or something?
No, well, here's the thing. You bundle all the streamers, you know what you get?
Cable.
SpecStream.
Yes.
You get exactly. SpecStream.
You get
Home Stream Office.
Yeah. Now you have, as a result of all of these firms bleeding money, mergers and acquisitions gone crazy. Take a look at Paramount and Skydance, which is expected to close next year. They're going to close. They're going to consolidate some stuff. Some people are going to lose their jobs. Yeah.
That's spinning off to SpinCo, you know. Disney Plus raising rates and losing money. I still think, and by the way, Gordon, I still think we are in the early stages of the post-pandemic streaming bloodbath. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I agree with you.
Agreed. And, you know, the irony is the only way they're going to survive is once again being bundled into one network.
And I'm going to say this, what I think is going to happen is a bunch of these streaming services are going to shut down. I think it's going to be more and more people, honestly. I see a lot of people going back to regular television. I think that may happen because...
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't disagree. If you get a good linear system with a couple... Like, look, for me, I have Verizon Fios, and I'm so glad I switched because it's really great. You know, it's good for what I'm using it for. But I have, you know, I have the Hulu bundle. I have Max, and I have Netflix. Oh, and by the way, Brian, let's throw in a little bit of an NAWC crossover for this one, because I think one of the biggest stories of 2025 is going to be WWE's success on Netflix in streaming. Because once you
I'm going to cut you off 1 second, Jay, because that's only part of it.
Okay.
Here's your real story. WWE has moved us to there. That's correct. However, not really mentioned by anybody is the fact that the WWE network has now gone kaput.
Oh, it's been gone kaput
in Europe.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen in the United States. Sci-fi is going to go away because that's being spun off. A lot of the networks are going to go away that used to be mainstays on cable. They may not be in there anymore. And in terms of that, I'm really surprised this was as low as it is. This changes, and I mean really changes, the troposphere, shall we say, of television in general and streaming and game shows and all that other stuff that's going along with it.
Well,
the other point that you're going to have, and then I'll shut up and I'll let you talk again, Jay, is that what does this affect? It starts to limit the number of venues that you have to create your own shows and to send them. Because now you're going from a bunch of different places, like, again, a game show network, and we'll talk about that later, a sci-fi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if they're being spun off, I mean, when's the last time you had a lot of these cable networks come up with real original shows? I mean, you got Food Network has done a lot of stuff. But that's been it.
TBS tried Rat in the Kitchen. TBS tried a couple of things, but again, streaming still may be the way to go, but it's going to consolidate in 2025. It's still
high. Well, streaming is going to be the way to go, but it's at the expense of old-fashioned traditional cable and networks.
And linear TV, yes.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Okay. And we end the first half with story number six.
Story number six. Game Show Network's 30th anniversary. New series, new approaches. Very demure, very mindful, very low-key celebration.
It is, but you know what? Game Show Network has been, over the last few years, the network that tries. And a lot of times, succeeds. I give Game Show Network a lot of credit because what they do is that, you know the old cake that Bart Simpson says, at least you tried?
Yeah.
Okay. How many shows did debut this year for Game Show Network? A lot.
Blank Slate.
Flip Side.
Beat the Bridge. Switch.
And more seasons of America Says and Split Second. Okay.
Yep. And new acquisitions too. They have more Family Feud, more Press Your Luck, Pyramid, and in 2025 they will have reruns of The Wall.
Yes. Brian, thoughts on the 30th anniversary of GSN?
You know, as much as we make fun of GSN, and God knows I have, and God knows we all have, how many companies do you know of, like how many networks do you know of that are not only still around 30 years later, but you can make an argument that they are thriving now in a way that none of us saw possible, because Buzzr has become what GSN used to be.
Right, we talked about that, yep, on last week's show.
But GSN has now essentially become a place for new game shows to be on. And you can make fun of them all you want to. SNL, sorry about that, they used to joke, you're watching GSN, you must be in your doctor's waiting room. But
right.
30 years later, they have found a niche, and they have made the most out of it. And think of how many classic game shows, as kids, we all discovered thanks to them.
Right.
Yep. All of the lost classics of the many libraries that existed up to them, that's what basically Game Show Network started off as. Now it's sort of metamorphosed into its own unit of Sony Pictures, where all they do is concentrate on creating game show content. That,
Lots of concentrate.
Screams gross.
Yeah.
Well, that joke just went over Chico's head. Classic concentrate would be the appropriate way. Okay, somebody got it.
I did.
So that's a good. However, this is, yes, it's great. It's 30 years. But the reason why it's been demure is that GSN's at a crossroads. And the good thing about what GSN is doing is that they're going through technology. I think the syndication route with Flipside is genius. I think that's a fantastic move on that part, because syndication isn't going to go away for a very long time. And that may be the best way that they go out and get more eyeballs on their shows and get syndication ad rates. So, and I think the ratings warrant them to get renewed. I mean, are the ratings fantastic? No. But do they need to be? No. They need to be good enough, and I believe they are.
I agree.
You know, and I put it to you this way. GSN is in a good spot. Let's see where they go in the next few years. I'm glad they're succeeding. Anytime a game show area succeeds, there we go. You know, I'm happy. And you know what I'm also happy about?
Angel gets their wings.
Yes. I'm also happy because we have five more stories to go, but in the Brain Vision News, we need to cover a couple of things. And we need to do the second set of stories. So, Chico, take us to the news.
Yes, all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including the finale of Survivor and a super champ on Jeopardy. That's coming up on the other side of this, with Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, and Brian Haddock, freaking celebrity up in here. I'm Chico Alexander. I am starstruck. I am Chico Alexander, stick and stay with 5-1. You're home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 games that Brian Haddock can probably beat both Jason Block and Chico Alexander in, not counting Jeopardy, since he's already done that and made a tournament of champions, which neither of them could.
I like you already.
Oh, my God, that was cold. We'll be back right after this. Oh, so man, cold. That hurt.
So cold.
It's snowing outside.
So
it
cold.
I see penguins.
Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Easy does it. The tree will get trimmed, the dinner will get cooked, and the gifts will get wrapped if you take your time instead of a drink or drugs. Remember, easy does it.
Brain Vision and WLTI has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Because you know what? It's December. It's the winter. So where should we go? Florida! The best spot on earth! Brian Haddock loves going to Florida, don't you, Brian?
I did. I just got back from Panama City Beach.
And hopefully if you were there, you got to see the University of Florida manhandle the tar heel. Oh, no, they didn't. They did it in North Carolina.
The
I'm just going to walk away right now because...
Well, he's got... Okay, at least Brian Henniger's team made the playoffs.
Ooh, yeah.
That's true. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right with Brian Henniger's spices. Because he's spicy.
Gordon, if you would, the cue, please.
Boy, it's cold in here.
Yes, it is.
You know, I love myself some frozen orange juice, but roll that beautiful ring footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media at Doug Morse Games at Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and Attracts Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morse every Sunday as he hosts Rock 104's Rock Tracks from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt. That is Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial. All over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Rock 104 app, and the Odyssey app.
All right, Chico, it's time to go to the island one more time.
Okay, to recap, your final four are Rachel, Sam, Teeny, and Sue.
So for the final immunity challenge, we have they had to run through a muddy net, then move a rope through a series of obstacles, use the rope to pull down a gate. Then once they pulled down the gate, they had to solve a puzzle with tiles they recovered, with the clue of, this is what you need to do, the word being unlocked. And then they had to solve a bat puzzle, a hanging bat puzzle. And the first person to do it wins immunity and immediately gets to choose who they want. And that is Rachel, yet again.
And at this point, you can change the channel because you know darn well who's winning Survivor.
Indeed, it was all over. Then she chooses Sue to go with her. Smart choice. Puts Andy and Teeny to make fire. Teeny made fire first, but the wind did not allow the fiber to burn. Andy makes a great comeback. Teeny finishes in fourth, but the tribal council really doesn't matter, because it was Rachel's game to lose, and Kyle was the only person who voted for Sam. It was a 7-1-0 blowout, and honestly, the right person won.
I agree.
Yeah, clearly.
Let me drop some facts on you. And Rachel brought this up at least midway through the first hour. Rachel joins four other players as the only female to earn four individual immunity challenges. Those four are, and they are legendary names, all of them, Kelly Wigglesworth, Jenna Maraska, Chrissy Hoffbeck, and Kim Spradlin.
And by the way, Brian, Jenna Maraska in TNA for a cup of coffee, if you remember, sadly.
-5 stars!
It's -6. It didn't take place in the Tokyo Dome.
That's correct. And also, Sue made history as being one of the oldest competitors to make the final three.
59 one of only five. On day 26?
Yeah. One of only five to do it, right? So now we congratulate Rachel for winning $1 million. And then we go to season 48, which debuts in February.
Yes. So, probably still in Fiji, because they seem to love that place.
Yeah, I believe it is still in Fiji, and it's probably already filmed already, and in the can, because they usually film back to back. So we need, Brian, you'll love this. We need this guy.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is
so great to hear, ain't it, Brian?
Music to my ears.
Mother's milk.
Right. So, do we want to talk about original or new Coke?
I'd love to talk about new Coke just to get that dumpster fire out of the way. All right. So episode 7, Your teams are on the bubble, Jacoby, Paul, and Nick. Lower shoulder, Renee, Nikki, and Angie. And Space Cowboys, Sagar, Seema, and Sarang. I believe Seema is a Jeopardy alum, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But going into the final, Lower Shoulder leads 18,800. On the Bubble, 13,600. Space Cowboys, 1,400. Final Jeopardy category in Episode 7 of Play is...
2010 movie reviews. The Clue. On this film, quote, when a movie's character's name is synonymous with fuse, the audience will be wondering when to expect his meltdown. Brian, do you have any ideas?
Could you repeat that just one more time?
Sure. When a movie's character's name is synonymous with fuse, the audience will be wondering when to expect his meltdown.
Fuse?
Fuse. F-U-S-E.
I got it.
What is Black Dynamite? I really don't know.
No.
I got it.
Okay.
Want me to say it?
Yeah.
What is John Wick?
There we go. Yep. Wick, not fuse. There you go. So what happened there?
Me.
Gordon.
Oh, that's right. What was the real answer?
What is Ralph Rex Pop Culture Jeopardy?
Man, I would love to see him do something to Colin Jost's face.
I'd like to see him punch him in the face. Anyway, on the bubble was the y'all, only...
Y'all don't threaten me with a good time.
Okay.
Okay, so on the bubble is the only team to get it right. They double up. They move on to the quarterfinals. And we move on to episode 8, which features Mission Impopsicle of Stan, Abigail, and Simon. Set and a Run with Sarah, Devin, and Mary. And Mojo Casa Housemates, Anna, Anthony, and Amy. Going into the final. Mission Impopsicle has 46,800. Mojo, Casa Housemates, and Set in the Run are not even close. It is a lot game. We're going to go right into the final Jeopardy and the category of number one hit songs, The Clue. The last Billboard number one hit of the 90s, this collaboration had been at the top spot since October.
I had no idea of this. Really? I looked it up. I saw the answer. I don't know. I did not know at all. Did you?
Oh, I absolutely knew it, but I knew it for a very weird reason.
Go for it.
I wrote a clue about this in this year's Christmas Jeopardy game.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I may have had a hand in his Christmas Jeopardy this year, just saying.
So what is the answer, Mr. Hattiger?
What is Smooth?
By Carlos Santana and Rob Thomas. But Gordon, what's the real answer?
The real answer was what is I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, starring George Michael and anyone that picked up his note in the Iowa men's bathroom.
Good night, everybody!
Good night. Okay, moving on to game 9.
Okay, moving on to game 9 before Jason Elliott yanks us off the podcast here again. We have Brenneth, Brian, Jennifer, and Judy versus Glazed and Confused, Andrea, Alex, and Laryl, and the Tampa Tamales, Mike, Ava, and Jonathan. Going into the final. Glazed and Confused have 26,600. Tampa Tamales have 17,200. Brenneth has 8,000. And the final Jeopardy category is alphanumeric company names. Ooh, I like company names. Here's your clue. This company that's won 18 Oscars since 2012 gets its name from an Italian highway that links Rome to Teramo. Oh, me, me! Pick me! Pick me!
Go for it! Go for it!
What is A24?
That's right. They were, and by the way, they were the one who won their Oscars this year for a movie. What was it? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, I believe, right?
Yes.
And they got a movie called Y2K coming out.
Right, but Gordon, what's your answer? Because I don't think I can even.
I know what Gordon's answer is.
What is Fellini's Route 69?
No.
Okay, I was wrong.
I was going for something else myself, but all right, that's fine. What happened to the game?
Brian wants to say something. What did you want to say, Brian?
I can try one a little bit better than that.
What's that?
What is OICU812?
We're done. We're done. This guy wins.
Y'all have corrupted me already.
We hope so, but what happened in the game?
Glazed and Confused. Tampa Tamales doubled up to 34,400. Glazed and Confused. One Price is Right style. $1. So they are moving on. But now we move to somebody who is a late contender for the one of the players of the year of 2024. Because Ashley Chan, a publicist from Lewisville, Texas, has a four-day take of $67,400. A win today all but assures her of a spot in the postseason next month.
In the words of the Jamie Foxx special, what happened was she needs the fifth game and is playing Eric Weldon Schilling, a bar manager and sommelier from Houston, Texas, and Sarah Rosenthal, who's a fundraiser from New York, New York. Unfortunately for Ashley, she runs into Eric and he locks the game away with 19,600. Sarah has 8,400 and Ashley has 2,400. The clue is anthems. What's the clue? And Gordon, not the anthems you're thinking of, sadly. The unofficial anthem of this UK territory mentions kelp, penguins, and the wind from the horn. Let's go with the Anglophile first, Brian. Do you know this one?
I didn't.
Oh.
I mean, I looked at that clue about 5 minutes, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
All right. Chico?
¿Qué es las Islas Malvinas?
They would have accepted that because it's the Falklands, by the way.
Yeah, the Falklands? Yeah. I was being a pedant is what I was doing.
No, Gordon, you know what mine is for this one? I have a funny answer.
What is yours?
Oh, it's Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue.
well, I actually had a better anthem for you.
What's that?
What is Madonna and Guy Ritchie looking for fish heads?
Eric bet 1,400. He leaves with 21,000 going into tomorrow's game. But it's time for, we need to do some business. Let's hit the Concords, please.
Yes, business. Yes, business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. Yes, business. Yes,
all right.
Business.
Today, we are going to talk about two dating shows with one surprising commonality. First of all, I will say Fox has renewed Farmer Wants a Wife for season 3.
Wow. Okay. You know what, though? I get it. I understand.
And it'll have a new host. Around the same time, we have a new TV show on Hallmark Plus called Small Town Setup. in which somebody will be going to a small town looking for love, a la a Hallmark movie. The commonality of the two, and I have a button here if I may press it. The new host of Farmer Wants a Wife is Kimberly Williams Paisley.
Is that Brad's wife?
Yes, Brad's wife.
Uh-huh.
And her younger sister... And her younger sister from How I Met Your Mother, Ashley Williams, is hosting the Hallmark Plus show.
Okay. Now, can we talk about business here? I don't know if we talked about it on last week's show, that they actually announced what's replacing the talk before Beyond the Gate.
We did not talk about it, but we can talk about it right here. Who Wants Price is Right reruns in the daytime.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're getting as soon as the talk is over this Friday. This Friday is the final talk. They've run out of words to say.
But it's very interesting that they're putting Price is Right reruns there. Do you okay? I'll ask the hive mind here. Do you think it is a gauge to something later on, maybe, or no?
Maybe column A and a little bit of column B.
I think it's just something to put on the television until Beyond the Gate starts.
I think if you're going to have the highest rated show on TV in daytime, I think you need to use their reruns.
Okay. Yep.
So to answer your question, no, I don't think it's anything new. I mean, you already have the prime time. What else are you going to want?
Okay. Right. Okay.
Right. And now, there's one more thing.
Yes.
All right. In 2022, TBS ordered and shot the reboot of the Joe Schmo Show. It's actually going to air 18 months later in January of 2025.
Yay!
Can you say burnout? I knew burn off. I knew you could.
Yay!
Hey,
but I will give them credit for who the hostess is. One of my favorite British celebrities, Miss Kat Bailey.
Yep.
She's also very good, too.
She's an incredible presenter and, frankly, miles leagues better than Ralph Garman in A Disguise.
Indeed.
Yeah, I said it.
By the way, Gordon, thank you for the Christmas card. You included the date book in it.
Yeah, there wasn't much really there, so go for it.
Okay. So Thursday is the Thursday as we record this. Beast Games premieres on Prime Video. That's going to be some car crash watching if you ever see it. Fast Friends premieres on Max. Well, we'll see. Second Chance Stage is on Max, season finale. And the season finales of, Harry Potter Wizards of Baking, Christmas Cooking Challenge, The Great Christmas Light Fight, and Daily Trivia Live. Friday is the Fox Boom Show Triumvirate, Person, Place, or Thing, Pictionary in 25 Words or Less, and Syndication. Sunday is Holiday Wars, and on Christmas Eve, on the 24th, is The Price is Right at Night, Holiday Heroes, which I'm guessing is First Responders, etc.
Yes, First Responders, military. These are the people who put their livelihoods on the line year-round. The Price is Right at Night is giving them their propers on Tuesday night.
Right, and put it to you this way. Price is Right at Night, always a fun time. But let's talk about, let's see, Brian, can you guess the theme of that app, though?
That's Starcade.
All right, what was that?
That's Starcade.
That is Starcade.
Yes. So This one is not a shock to me. Because Boston Rob was so popular on Deal or Deal Island, and almost won the whole damn thing, on Peacock, he's getting an after show when the season two debuts early next month. And it gets a podcast, I believe.
Yep. Episodes will be able to stream after the episodes on Tuesday nights. On the following Wednesday morning on Peacock, NBC's YouTube channel, and NBC.com. Remember, Deal or No Deal Island airs in its regular time slots Tuesdays at 9, beginning January 14th. And each week, Rob will sit down with eliminated players to break down gameplay, talk drama on the island, and share never-before-seen footage from the show. Should be a good time.
And honestly, it's one of those shows that I'm really surprised at getting a season two. But you know what? If they can improve on it, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they're definitely going to improve upon it.
Mm-hmm. But that's a smart move. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You're really dumb. For real.
Now, I had a story that had to do with Nigel Lithgow settling with Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
But then I ran into this.
Okay.
Are you smarter than AI?
AI?
Just trust me on this.
Okay.
Okay, so
we'll bring Allen Iverson into this.
I think we're all smarter than Allen Iverson, but that's a different story from a different time. But in a case when AI goes wrong, a story claiming that Steve Harvey had died late on Tuesday led to many social media posters mourning Steve Harvey's death. The problem? It's fake.
He's alive. Yep.
Rumors of Steve Harvey's death have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. And by the way, according to more, this has been the fourth time in a year that he's got that happens.
My God.
I'm not dead yet.
Did not respond to. Reps for Steve Harvey did not immediately respond for a comment, but the comedian does not appear to be dead. But still, it led to Steve Harvey being the second most popular Google search on Wednesday morning.
Well, but by the way, Chico, did you get any comment from Ainsley?
She says, "I'm trying to have a vacation here. What are you doing blowing up my phone?"
What about Zingbot?
He says, get a haircut. Zing.
All right. Do either of them have Haterade?
Haterade!
Now, this actually is going to be something that may be affecting a lot of people later on. This is big. This is really a big story. So the National Labor Relations Board determined that the cast of Love is Blind are employees. Okay, according to NPR, okay? In a complaint list issued last week, the National Labor Relations Board found that show's producers had misclassified the contestants who agreed to date other contestants sight unseen, leading to on-screen engagements and even marriage, as participants. The complaint calls for contestants to be reclassified as employees and for them to receive back pay for any lost wages they would bear on the show. Gordon, remember last year when one of the biggest stories of the year was one of the members of Bethany Frankel, I believe her name was, who mentioned a reality show union.
Yep.
This,
you better believe there's going to be one happening. You know what? This maybe came a little bit too late for us to figure out top 10 stories, but we better earmark this for top 10 stories of 2025.
I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree with you, but it's one of those things where if this goes through, I mean, put it to you this way, I will bet you that one of his predictions, you know, the crystal ball story, and I will agree with you, Gordon, a lot of reality shows will stop production in 2025 because of this.
Because remember, it killed the fact that they wanted a union killed off, nailed it.
Right, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how many more shows are going to bite the dust?
It's going to be a number greater than one, I assure you. So there's that, and we're going to be keeping an eye on that. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about. Oh wait a minute, hold on. I have on a related note. I have a quote from Rene Poche on that ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Payback is a bitch.
Hiya.
Oh boy.
She go yep. get her money.
She's gonna exactly. Yep. But where are we sending all these contestants and Boston Rob and all that stuff? Where are we going?
The only place on Earth where KFC is open on Christmas, Japan. As they say in the Netflix sphere, it's official, another season is coming.
Okay.
This time it is of the sort of the low-key hit of 2025 on Netflix, The Boyfriend. That would be the Japanese same-sex dating series in which one man looks for another man to enter into a relationship. Executive producer Diota.
July 2024.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. Executive producer Diota, in a statement, says, "Thanks to the love from our viewers, it is exciting to return for a new season. Being the first same-sex romance reality show in Japan, we paid careful attention to ensure that the story is an authentic portrayal of these relationships. In season one, we showed not just romance, but their friendship and meaningful connections with one another, which I believe touched the hearts of fans around the world."
You know what?
In season two, we will continue to showcase their compassion and stories of growth with more unique perspectives and backstories. Please look forward to a new season with new participants, a new green room, and new storytelling.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe we'll get some more Japanese media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes. Pros. In different area
in
codes.
This week's Media Pro Report, I have the list of everybody who was on this season of The Masked Singer. All right. As Strawberry Shortcake, AJ Michalka. As Goo, Kobe Turner. As Sherlock Hound, Bronson Arroyo. As Royal Knight, Jana Kramer. As Ice King, Drake Bell. As Macaron, Bethany Hamilton. As Bluebell, Natalie Imbruglia. As Chess Piece, Laverne Cox. As Dust Bunny, Andy Richter. As Ship, Paula Cole. As Woodpecker, Marseille Martin. As Showbird, Yvette Nicole Brown. As Leaf Sheep, John Elway.
What?
Yeah. As Wasp, Mario. And your winners as
Buffaloes.
Buffaloes, thank you. As Buffaloes, Boys to Men.
Well, I guess they bet the end of the road by winning. So, but I believe you have a bunch of media pros who are the pros of the week.
I do. They are Anna Navarro, Rachel Brosnan, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Blake Anderson, Corbin Blue, Yvette Nicole Brown, Darcy Carden, Margaret Cho, Seth Green, Max Greenfield, Sean Gunn, Camilla Luddington, Natalie Morales, Melissa Peterman, Roy Wood Jr., Brian Jordan Alvarez, W. Kamau Bell, Sherry Cola, Chris DiStefano, Omar J. Dorsey, Susie Esmond, Fortune Feimster, David Friedberg, Mina Kimes, Phoebe Robinson, Robin Thied, and Jackie Tone. Who are 27 people who have never been in my kitchen?
That, Brian, are your Celebrity Jeopardy contestants for season 3.
Okay.
And I know, like I said, you had a connection with the season 1 winner.
I sure did. And I tell you what, I've seen how good of a player Andy Richter is. I think he's going to be the one. He's the pony to bet on, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot, actually. But put it this way. Lisa Ann Walters will not be, we talked about this earlier, will not be in this year's tournament, but might be in the 2026 one. We might have two celebrity
inviter, I believe.
Sorry?
We might have two in 2026.
I am actually, fun fact, I am 2 degrees away from one of the participants.
Oh?
Yeah, I went to college with a friend of Fortune Feimster's.
Oh, okay.
So, suffice it to say, rooting interest there.
So, any of them from Duke?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
All right. But...
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I am shutting down right now.
All right. We still have 5 stories to cover in our top 10 stories of 2024. And we will cover them right after this here on WLTI. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. WLTI's 10 Biggest Stories of 2024 is presented by The Floor Wax. It is the only floor wax with a bottle shaped like Rob Lowe for one of the biggest game shows, one of the biggest new game shows to come out in 2024. Now you can make your kitchen floor look like you're about to conquer somebody who knows a little bit about ornithology. That is The Floor Wax. Ask for it by name.
Oh, Michael Floorlax, you rising comedian, you.
All right. So we just did the bottom 6 stories in our top 11 because of 2024. So we need to get right back to it and hear. And the top 5 looks something like this.
Number five. The Rise of the Traitors.
Ah, yes. Here we go.
So the Traitors has been really big overseas in 2023, but it wasn't until 2024 where it got its start on American streaming television, and developed quite the audience and quite the reputation for itself. I mean, it's a fan favorite. It's number one in all of streaming, and it won almost any accolade it was nominated for. It made a star, a game show star out of Alan Cumming. The only thing I have a problem with is their reliance on celebrities instead of the celebrity civilian remix of season one. But if people are watching and people are enjoying, I'm not going to complain.
Gordon, I'm not going to even complain. I'm going to embrace it, and I will tell you why. Because this is a show, we have always said, oh, we need civilian contestants. This is the one show where you don't. Alan Cumming is pitch perfect in his role, and this is the format that finally beat out RuPaul's Drag Race. Pretty cool, no?
Yeah, well, I don't love it as low as you guys do, and the reason why I don't love it as much as you guys do is the last episode of season two reminds me of Survivor's Winner at War, which is not a compliment. Because in my mind, yes, you should be using personal backstories to play the game, but you literally eliminated people just out of spite and not out of gameplay based on something that happened that had nothing to do with the show or how the show worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, meh. For me, I always have an issue with any sort of format when something that's got nothing to do with the format or the gameplay rears its ugly head. I mean, that happens in every single show where you bring in people that have a previous history. That previous history comes back either to bite you or to help you. Not the biggest fan. I think the format is okay. I get it why people like season two better than season one. I did not like the end of season two. So congratulations on that. I mean, obviously, I think game shows are great, fantastic. But for me, don't love it as much as you guys do.
Okay. That's
Brian,
fair.
You a fan of the Traitors, Brian?
Wait, what was that?
You a fan of the Traitors?
I'm a fan of the Traitors. I'm a fan of the UK version because you get Claudia Winkleman and her massive bangs.
Number four.
Please.
Prime Video's Winning Wednesdays. Now, game shows have started to creep onto Prime Video for a while now. Everything from One Versus 100 UK to, I don't know if you guys know this, but reruns of Limitless Win are now on Prime Video.
No, really? Okay.
It's true.
That's cool.
But aside from that, we have a program where Amazon Prime is dedicating Wednesdays to its marquee game shows, of which there were four in 2024. We started the Winning Wednesdays sort of promotion with Travis Kelce hosting Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? And the show itself is pretty daggone good.
Okay.
And then you have Buy It Now with JP Smoove and Wishlist Games with Nick Cannon and Pop Culture Jeopardy with Mr. Punchable Face.
You forgot the biggest one. You forgot the biggest one.
Wait, no, I didn't, because Beast Games is on a Thursday, not a Wednesday.
No. Nope. You're talking about the 1% Club.
Oh, I am an idiot. I am an absolute idiot.
That was the most successful of them all, with the co-running on Fox earlier this year with Patton Oswalt. Okay, you may not like what they're doing, but I love the fact that Amazon Prime is spending a lot of money on game and reality shows. I hope they do a season two of 007 Road to a Million, because they got to improve on that. But all those, yes, even Pop Culture Jeopardy, it goes to show you that Amazon Prime is a streaming home for game shows, and good for them.
I am hoping for a second season of the 1% Club myself, because that's a show I would love to get on.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is turning into Amazon Prime is turning into a powerhouse.
in terms of game shows. And a lot of people, that speaking to me, some of them were worried about, well, what's going to happen to game shows if the networks falter? And the answer is nothing. It's just going over to streaming. There's been articles on Variety in terms of why episodes of game shows are what is old is new again. It is still a very cheap product to complete, and it's still very viable.
Very cheap and very entertaining.
And, well, that was sort of an advertorial, per se, because I believe Amazon Prime put that in there, because I actually looked at that. But, Brian, I mean, I know your thoughts on Pop Culture Jeopardy, but what do you think of Amazon Prime at least giving them a home for game shows?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, look, more game shows on TV is always a good thing, and more places to watch game shows is always a good thing. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, the fact that it's hosted by the bane of my existence, notwithstanding, I actually rather like Pop Culture Jeopardy. I think it does a fine job. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. And some of the clues are really fun. And I didn't think Jeopardy with Team would work, but it winds up working very, very well. And as long as they keep it to just Pop Culture Jeopardy, I would love to see a second season.
Well, so would I, because I'd like to give it a shot, okay?
I'm pretty sure I know why they won't pick me to play on that show, but...
You never know. You never know. No, but again, good for Amazon Prime. Now, we are in the top 3 of 2024. What's number 3?
Number 3. Jeopardy's 60th anniversary.
Hell yeah.
Oh, but yeah. It's been 60 years since we first saw Art Fleming take to the board and the show become a classic, a part of the American pop culture zeitgeist, if you will. What else can I say? And the thing of it is, after a rough patch with tournament after tournament after tournament after tournament after tournament, then we got to the season proper, and all of a sudden, Michael Davies's plan of more Jeopardy, not less. We've got Pop Culture Jeopardy. We've got Jeopardy Bar League. We've got the Jeopardy Arcade 1-Up table game. Like you said, more Jeopardy, not less. You can never have
it. Mr. Henniger, you were part of the 60th anniversary celebration, as you were part of the Tournament of Champions. I know you've said it multiple times, but what did being on the Tournament of Champions mean to you?
It's going to sound weird for me to say this, and I apologize if it does sound weird. In a weird way, it was like I was vindicated. I honestly don't think... I mean, I didn't know if I was going to qualify to make it. So the fact that I was even invited back to me was an honor. The fact that I made the final 9 was a huge deal for me, in my opinion. You know, being a part of the TOC, being a part of that elite, very elite group, it will never, ever not be amazing to me that they just considered me a part of that.
You are part of the Jeopardy family, sir.
I was, and I'm
no,
still
no, no. You are. No, 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 no. Not was. Are. Okay.
What's
are that? and always will be, dude. Don't ever forget that.
I won't, and I'll tell you this. I am still talking online on WhatsApp with a private group of the TOC members, and we still talk all the time.
Good for you. Good for you.
I mean, I made 26 new friends. What else can I say?
There you go. Gordon, what do you think of the big Jeopardy expansion of 2024?
Well, I think it's great. Obviously, if the iron is hot, you must strike on it. So all these variants of Jeopardy just reminds me of when RuPaul came out with all these variants on Drag Race, and we went, wait, this is going to oversaturate the market. And sure enough, it did not. So now I same thought on Jeopardy here. You know, you have the Bar League, you have all these other things. You did have Britain, which unfortunately I don't think is getting renewed. But again, something to add to,
oh,
to
you mean
Jeopardy.
UK, you mean UK Jeopardy? We forgot about that. That's right.
You're correct.
Yeah.
January 2024,
right?
Season.
I'm sorry?
I have heard that it is coming back for a second season.
Well, I hope they're right. I don't know whether or not it is or it isn't. I can't definitively say. I've heard it was not. But if it does, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Although the great, and also the Graham Norton version of Wheel of Fortune, pretty good too. So, okay. We are down to the top two.
Number two, Derek Jeter.
Number two.
Number two.
Hit it.
Victoria Gross becomes the Queen of Quiz.
Oh, okay. I didn't expect that to be number one. All right. Okay. Wow.
Yep.
Dad.
Our erstwhile chaser friend made a name of herself, name out of herself from the chase, from Jeopardy, the Second Chance tournament, and came back to win the whole thing, and of course, win the hearts and minds of people in the quiz world, us included.
Well, you're really underselling it, okay? Because not only did she win the Jeopardy second chance, the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament to get into Jeopardy Masters, okay? She goes to Jeopardy Masters and beats Yogesh Raut, Amy Schneider, Matea Roach, Matt Amodio, and James Holtel, okay? Six of the, you know, best quizzers, and she comes up with that. Oh, and by the way, she becomes the first woman ever to win the World Quizzing Championship this summer. She is the Queen of Quiz. We must bow down to our new quiz overlord. Seriously. She's that good.
All right, and I have a quote here from a reader. Thanks for sending us one, Stephen Buis. How about a story that really wasn't? A chaser wins Jeopardy Masters, but the chase doesn't get renewed? Did Augustus get some brains without us knowing it? I think ABC missed out on an opportunity to capitalize on Victoria Gross's victory.
That is an absolute truth, right, Gordon? That would have been big if they did it. They should have.
Absolutely, I would agree with that.
They're absolutely right, but I mean, Victoria Gross, Brian. You know, we always said the quizzing world still has a female problem, but boy, did we have, you know, this. You know, she is the player of the year by any stretch of the imagination.
By any definition of the term, she is the MVP of game shows for this year. One of the most dominant performances I have ever seen a contestant have. And the fact that she did it all and she looked, you know, she remained a very likable contestant, and she utterly played the game the way it's supposed to be played. And I bow down to her. She is, in my opinion, the best game show contestant in America for this entire season. She's my MVP.
Indeed. Indeed, she is my player of the year on the GSN. But we have one more story to go, but we're not going to get there just yet. We have a bunch of stories that missed the cut.
Yeah, we're gonna do a bit of a lightning round of all of the stories that we think are honorable mentions. So, Lucky 13, it's unlucky side.
Oof. Oh boy, that's bad. That if you remember, Brian, I don't know if you heard about this story. The company, the original company, Studio One, is now bankrupt, and they're looking to pay both Shaquille O'Neal and the other woman who hosts
Gina Rodriguez.
Gina Rodriguez, along with some of the contestants, as we heard. This is the 21st century version of Pitbull.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You never, ever, ever put a game show on if you can't afford to give away the prizes. You never.
Correct.
Ever.
Yep. CW has its launch of game show content with Trivial Pursuit and Scrabble.
And you want to know something? They ain't great, but they're good. They're good, and they're going to get season twos, right, G? I think so.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
They're nice, cheap, and entertaining.
Yep.
As has been said about me a few times. Oh, was that out?
Moving on, next one.
Moving on! Beast Games. Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's been a lot of smoke with the treatment of contestants on Beast Games. Remember, this sounds very similar to the stories we heard about Squid Games, The Challenge Season 1. That got a Season 2. I don't know if that's being filmed.
And I have to say, I'm surprised. You know, you really are amazed to see such a scandal-free man like Mr. Beast being involved in something like this.
Yeah, well, you haven't had the year that Mr. Beast has had.
Such frippery.
He'd like to forget 2024 ever happened, I think.
He has had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year.
Yeah. The Death of Legends. Peter Marshall. Chuck Woolery.
Who was the Giants like this this year?
And if I may throw one in that's on your list, Bruce Seymour. He was the winner of Super Jeopardy in 1990.
Uh-huh. That's true. Okay.
For a long time, the highest winning Jeopardy contestant of all time.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
the continued aftermath of the writer's strike, everything from delayed seasons to tournament after tournament after tournament after tournament.
Yeah.
Look, I didn't like it any more than you did, but their hand was kind of forced. I mean, let's not
know. Ourselves. I know. Big Brother is entertaining?
Big Brother had one of its most entertaining seasons this year. In a long time.
Big Brother had an absolutely fantastic season this year. And it reminded me a lot about Survivor, where you thought you were in power, but oh, no, you're not. Here comes this, oh, wait, you mean you're vulnerable now? Oh, wait, you mean you lost your battle challenge? Oh, we'll vote you out. This was a very fun season.
Yeah. The time somebody won a double showcase by a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the floor becoming the most watched new game show of 2024.
Yeah, and you know what? And again, we know people who work on that show. And congratulations to the success of that show. It's getting the Super Bowl post show, the premiere, yeah. I believe.
Season 3 starts right after Super Bowl 59. I know Roman numbers.
Yes, but it's now time, and this one is an obvious one, as the number one story of 2024.
Can I get a drum roll, please?
Do you have one?
Number one. Wheels Changing of the Guard. It was announced in 2023 that Pat Sajak was taking a leave of absence after the season ended. And who was going to take his place? Ryan Seacrest. What resulted? was the most watched weeks of Wheel in a very long time. And also a refreshing of the brand, the brand discovering a new audience, and the show with its continued success.
You know,
Go ahead, Brian, you first.
Okay, thank you. You know, I'm going to say this. First of all, while I wasn't surprised Ryan Seacrest became the new host of Wheel of Fortune, he's already a phenomenal broadcaster. He's already a phenomenal MC. The fact that he became an amazing host didn't surprise me. But just how quickly he took to becoming the host of Wheel. When I watched his first episode, it looked as if he'd been doing that show for 10 years. He just walked right into it. And it really made me upset that you had people saying, you know, because for years we've heard game show fanboys saying, you know, put a real broadcaster as a host. Give a real MC. Don't bring in another comedian or an actor. Okay, Ryan Seacrest. Well, not him.
Right. Not that guy.
But, I mean, Ryan has made that show his own. And he just has that ability to make you care about those contestants. He's the perfect replacement. And I'm going to say it. And I'm someone who liked Pat Sajak's style in a way. He's injected life into that show it hasn't had in a couple of years. Just, you know,
Gordon, you have been saying that a long time. You've been saying it. It's a new era, and it's a great era.
No, I think it should be a new era based on what's going on right now. The floor is, well, not the floor, the sky is the limit for something like this, really.
What's amazing to me and what I love about this is that, you know, even the bumpier shows in the beginning, this is only his first season, but again, he's a seasoned broadcaster. And we're getting to see Pat Sajak in 2025 for Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. Wait till we get Ryan Seacrest in 2026 for this. Okay? And mind you, also, when Pat Sajak was leaving, the tributes were coming in. You had the Big Money Week with the 8,000th episode. You had a bunch of alumni fly out, and the Wheel of Fortune let the alumni have the, you know, really take over the audience for that week. And it was great television. It really was fantastic television. It was really great. But right now, Ryan Seacrest has earned his Emmy nomination right now. He's going to get it. Will he win? Don't know. But he's going to get the Emmy nomination this year, without question.
No. I mean, him and, I mean, the fact that he and Ken Jennings, you know, Ken had a more difficult road because, you know, he didn't think he was going to have to take over as a host of Jeopardy, but he's become a phenomenal new host of that program. But Ryan has just absolutely knocked it out of the park.
And he's going to get better.
And I want to say this. I love that new set for Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, the new set for Wheel of Fortune is purdy. It's really purdy.
I love the roulette wheel motif they use. It just looks really nice.
Yeah, and the best part about it is you see how every sort of aspect of the set just ties into the whole thing. I mean, it makes it look nice and pretty and sort of seamless throughout.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have one question, though. Let's add something a little more to the mix.
What did you think of the Wheel of Fortune UK version with Graham Norton? Does that go in here as well? It should. A little
I think
bit.
It should. Because yeah. It was a really big deal that Wheel of Fortune was coming back to both the UK and Australia, and Graham Norton was going to be the person to bring it back, and he's been doing a bang-up job of it.
Graham Norton is the perfect host for the UK version of that show. The only thing I don't like about it, and this is just a personal thing, I don't think Wheel of Fortune works as an hour-long show.
That's a British thing, I think.
Yes.
Sadly. You know? I'm also just trying to see if we're going to get a season.
It probably will.
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. As a matter of fact, the new season of Wheel debuts a week from Saturday, December 28th. Good deal for you. And you can find it in any way possible. Okay? And according to the press release, it launched with 5.7 million viewers, and it's the ITV's biggest entertainment show since 2022. Okay? And nine new episodes, including a celebrity Christmas special. So that may be happening soon, but yeah. So good for them, but good for Ryan Seacrest and good for Wheel of Fortune to expand the brand, but we still need more interactivity. I really believe that. So we'll see. But that's the end. That's our top those are our top stories of 2024, but next week's going to get even bigger. We'll find out all about that in after this speed round, which will be coming up right after this here at 5 and 1. We'll be right back.
Game Show Newsnet and WLTI has been brought to you by Crypto Game Show Bitcoins. No. That's right. You're now playing for Ethereum and Bitcoins and Shibu and Shiba Inu and Ethereum. Brian Henniger hosts because he likes money.
He's the only one who's going to get any money out of it, I think.
Why do you like money?
I don't know who doesn't like money.
Well, depends.
The fine folks at Caesars Virginia are holding my money until I get there on Saturday. So,
congratulations! Oh, is that the opening day?
No, it opened yesterday.
Ah, damn, Gordon, are you joining him on this excursion?
I could have seen Dennis Rodman, y'all.
Oh well, are you joining him on that excursion on Saturday?
No, I'm not joining him on Saturday. I may be joining him another time.
Yeah, this
and
is,
I will join him when we go through the...
I'm going to be a collection agency of one.
There you go. That's fine. Gordon, head us into the speed round.
Meanwhile, we're going to do the speed round now. Jeopardy. Will Rotating Champions?
Well, for a little bit, yeah. I mean, remember, now we're the postseason starts in 2 weeks. So.
There you go. Beast Games. Is it going to do well for Prime Video?
Yes. I say yes. Because the Mr. Beast brand has been tarnished, but it's not rusty, if you understand what I mean.
I understand.
Yeah, I think the issues are going to happen after the series, but certainly not before. I think it'll be fine.
All right. Best Friends, how do you think that's going to do?
Pivot! Just say pivot! I think we're going to be on a break, you know?
Yeah.
So,
got any more bad jokes on you?
Not really, no. But do we have any mail?
No, we don't have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com or on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2. I know, Brian, you are not on X, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and Gordon?
GDSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is 5&1net, where you can hear about everything going on network wide, including we're into the postseason in college, we're into the postseason in fantasy, we're into the postseason in the other fantasy, but the postseason in the NFL started to take shape. Jay, myself, and Ian talked about that yesterday on the BS Big Show as we get set for some Saturday football this week, huh?
Yeah, I know where Mr. Henniger's going to be parked on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Ohio State don't want this smoke.
Mm-hmm.
All together now. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top, Tennessee.
God, I hope you guys beat Ohio State. Can't wait. Oh, I cannot wait. Just in general principle. But we'll be talking more about that. But on Tuesday's show. Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, because next Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and we're taking the night off to get the KFC, watch A Christmas Story, and wait for Santa.
Mm. And also Wednesday will be the games on Netflix. And Brian, speaking of Netflix, did you know, speaking of the NAWC, that Netflix is going to be the home of Monday Night Raw starting January 6th?
Oh, thank you for reminding me.
Wait, what is this now?
The WWE has been promoting their Netflix affiliation. They've had multiple advertisements, multiple press conferences, both in LA and in the WWE headquarters today. They are promoting. We're going to be talking, and it's going to be a stacked, and I mean mega stacked card, almost WrestleMania worthy, actually, with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa fighting for the Ulafala, Seth Rollins and CM Punk with a grudge match, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan going for the women's title. There'll be more stuff probably added in the next week or two. Brian, in a very cool move, all the shows are taped until I believe next Friday, Friday the 27th, I believe.
Yes, and I think that's a good thing. Hunter's given the boys and girls some time off, and he needs to.
Yes, and by the way, we will not be on the air this week, but we will be on the air on the 26th with the Nikki Awards, the best and worst of wrestling in 2024, and we've actually done some prep. Who knew? Brian, if you're around, we'd like to have you.
I think I can make it.
Okay. And Brian, you also need to promote something you are doing this coming Friday, actually.
That's right. This Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So not at 9. I have a Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/Brian Henniger. Just spell my name out. My dear friend Travis Eberly and myself are going to be doing the annual Ceramic Dalmatian Entertainment Christmas party, and we're doing the Christmas Chase to raise money for glioblastoma research. And fun fact, the chaser for this one is going to be the Tennessee Hustler.
I wonder who this guy be.
Hold on. I've got a button for that. Hold on. I got a button for that.
Yes. Who this guy be?
Yeah, that would be you, wouldn't it be, Brian?
Yes, and if anyone in this room, I've put the link in the chat. If anybody in this room would like to sign up, if you have Discord, we'd love to have you Friday night. It's for a good cause. We're also going to do some Christmas readings. And just, if you ain't in the holiday spirit by the time we're done, we've failed in our mission.
I would have thought that you'd be the Tennessee Tornado, given that you first wrote the Tennessee Tornado at Dollywood this year.
Yes, this crazy son of a gun got me to ride my first roller coasters this year.
Yeah,
oh, good, buddy. Good for you. Well, Gordon, you remember the story of how my Super Bowl hat got sucked out of the Dorney Park loop, went right off my head, and you heard the thwomp. It off my head. Pretty funny. That was fun.
It was impressive.
But Chico, I'm sorry. Gordon, you actually, what's going on in the UBA? Are we stopping for Christmas, or are you still, what are we doing?
We are not stopping for Christmas. We have the last matches of the regular season this weekend for 2024, and then next weekend, last team standing in Greensboro, North Carolina, and there may be a wallpaper that shows up.
Ooh, okay.
I've already thought about two escape rooms and a barcade, and if Gordon really wants to party, we can make the 45-minute drive up to Danville.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
What is up there?
The casino.
Really?
Yeah. But Chico, before we go, it was a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing on TV. We just dropped the new episode after midnight on the East Coast. It is a reboot, the reboot of Family Affair from 2002, starring Gary Cole and Tim Curry in the Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot roles. Suffice it to say, there will be a mention of Mrs. Beasley. So, yeah, that is at itwasathingontv.com.
So next week is one of our favorite episodes of the year, The Best and Worst of Everything. We give out our awards for what we think the best game show, best reality competition show, best player, best and worst event. We have may discuss some of them in next week's show.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of spirited conversation.
Which is what happened this year, but most importantly, we would like to thank Brian Henniger for stopping by to relive some of his early 2024 Tournament of Champions stories, because that was a big event for you this year. And it happened this year. It's so long ago, but yet yesterday in a way.
I know. That's, one of the crazy, like I said, the absolute craziest moment of my life. Loved every minute of it, and hey, if they want to have me back for the Invitational Tournament, they've got my phone number.
Would you like a third bite at the apple?
I absolutely would.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll get it. So, Chico, if you would.
All right. Again, Brian, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight, and again, the door is always open.
Well, I would, I'll be working from home for the next couple of weeks. I'll take you up on that.
Well, if you want to come by next week, for the best and worst, you can put your award. If you want to vote in your categories, we'll send you a ballot too.
I'd love to.
All right. Okay. As for the two guys I see every week. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Bye.
Rocky Top!
Rocky Top!